Mr. Vice Dean, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you for the invitation as well. I'm coming from the agricultural faculty of West Hungarian University, from Mosonmagyaróvár, and the research group I belong to mostly deals with soil fertility problems. And this occasion, I wanted to show you this sphere of problem from a broader perspective. And I gave the title to my presentation, Soil, One of Our Most Precious Resources. It sounds like a statement, but by the end of my presentation, I would like to convince you that it's true, and I try to get you to agree with me. A handful of soil. Seeing a handful of soil like that, only few of us would think that how valuable material it is. Most people, or some people, may think that it's just like a dirt, but really few of us would think that without this dirt, the life on this planet would not be possible. In my presentation, I would like to deal with soil fertility and some special aspects of soil fertility. First, perhaps a couple of words about fertility as a major feature, a major quality of soil. What is fertility? Soil fertility basically means that soil is able to supply the plants water, air, and nutrients throughout the vegetation period. And we also see on this slide that at the same time and more or less. And this means that this is the basis of soil fertility, saying that soil fertility is not a constant phenomenon, but a thing that changes from time to time. And of course, fertility itself is all the same for the soil, so it's irrelevant. It is an irrelevant feature to soil. It is not all the same for us, how fertile a soil is. The major elements of soil fertility, as put together originally by Professor Győri, are the following ones. In the middle part of the figure, you see the major elements, the major major aspects of fertility, and on the right side, the potential intervention possibility, how we can improve or how we can modify the manifestation of fertility. So, just some other facts about soils. Soil is a conditionally renewable natural resource, and we can add that not only conditionally, but very slowly. So, they say, there are estimations, that it is necessary to have 2,000 years to produce about 10 centimeters fertile soil. So it's a very slow procedure, and it's very easy to lose our fertile soil, but it's a very slow and really difficult process to build up a certain layer of fertile soil and to get back to a normal and original condition. And some facts about soil management and soil use. The reasonable and sustainable use of soils, the protection, the maintaining the condition, and first of all, the multifunctionality of soil is a general interest of humanity, general interest of mankind. And this aim requires special attention and special cares. I borrowed this figure from Professor Várai because I kept it very important. And it displays the factors limiting the agroecological potential of Earth. And I just would like to draw your attention to a couple of aspects of this figure.
Sorry, I want
When you take a look, at the bottom part of the figure, you see the number of agriculturally utilizable proportion of fertile soil at different areas of the world. You see that in Europe, it is there are certain obstacles that hinder the manifestation of soil fertility. Drought, chemical stress, excess water, permanent frost, and different other things. And the effect of these factors are different at different parts of the world. And in Europe, as in the first column you see, the proportion of soil comparing to the land of that particular area that is suitable for agricultural utilization is about 30, 35, 36%. This refers to the EU 15 countries. If you if we take into consideration the world average, this is approximately 10%. And if we add the Hungarian figure to this, it, we can experience that it's higher than 80%. So it underlines the fact that how well supplied we are from this valuable material, and we should exploit it much better. And there are, of course, certain problems that may hinder the manifestation of soil fertility. And these are the elements of the most significant soil degradation processes. Just take a look at some of them. Wind or water erosion, compaction, structure deterioration, floods, salinization. Perhaps one of the most important is covering of the soil. Actually, it is the way how we lose the fertile soil by covering it with asphalt or concrete. This is the most dangerous and most unfavorable process we can face. Pollution, local pollution or diffuse pollution, decreasing of biodiversity, it's also very important, and decreasing of the organic matter content, which has a lot to do with different management practices. So we have a lot of tasks in the near future to modify our soil management procedures to decrease the loss of organic matter content, the organic materials from the soil. How important questions these are, it can be underlined by the fact that two significant papers in the world dealt with this important topic in the past. National Geographic devoted a complete issue to soils and to the importance of soils, and they gave the title to this special issue, Where Food Begins. And also the Crop Science Society of America also dealt with a special with a special item of their papers with the critical aspects, critical problem, critical issues of soil fertility. They listed eight different critical issues from soil fertility point of view, and these are the major challenges that we have to face as for the manifestation of soil fertility. And I would like to go go through to this to the, these eight different issues. First challenge, which can be considered one of the most important challenges, the increasing population in the world. It looks like that processes accelerated very much in the past, and the population of the world increases very quickly. You can find different so-called population clocks on the net, and now we can establish that approximately at this time the population of the world is over 7 billion, which is a very high number, and it gives us a lot of challenges. Taking a look at different figures about the well-supplied portion of population and the poorer proportion, the starving population, in a not a very long period, we can see that the number of population increased and the starving percentage a little decreased, whilst the number of the not sufficiently supplied people increased to a great extent. This is a figure that displays about the meat consumption of the world and some important part of the world. If we take a look at the figure, we can establish that the meat consumption, the average meat consumption, is the highest in the USA. And if we take a look at the proportion of certain meat species, we see that poultry consumption is significant, and the second is beef, and the third is pork. In the European Union, the consumption is also quite high. The distribution of the structure is a bit different because the consumption of pork is higher. And another extreme point of this formula is India, where the meat consumption is quite low, not only for economical, but also for tradition, and of course also from religious regions as well. And we can see another two countries in the figure, China and Hong Kong. China's consumption is increasing, and the increasing consumption of these developing areas, developing countries, can be very significant and important in the future. And the consumption in these areas and in these countries increases very fast, very quickly. But we could raise the question that what to do with the Hong Kong consumption here in this figure. If we take a look at the absolute figures, we see that Hong Kong consumption is quite close to that of exists in the USA. So the total amounts are all the same. The structure is a bit different, as for the pork consumption is higher and the beef consumption is lower. But if we compare the consumption of Hong Kong and China, we can establish that the pattern is the same. So we can establish that, and it's a fact that generally they use in the world the consumption of Hong Kong to predict the consumption of China when they will get on better. So when the economic situation will improve in China, so we can lead good conclusions regarding China's consumption in the future. So these are important elements of food supply that we have to face in the future. At the end of each section, at the end of each issue, I put together a little set of aspects, problems, facts to consider how to manage, how to solve the situation from the point of view of that particular question. So this regarding food supply, can I say that productivity and sustainability can be the two aspects and the two facts that we have to compare, and we have to find a balance between them somehow. So let's see what can be the elements, what can be a so-called best appreciation, a best approach for solving of that particular problems. So as for food supply, just take a pick some of the potential factors we can use solving the problems. We should intensify the existing farming systems, or we should push current systems harder, or what we have to do with organic farming, or how can we find a potential place for genetically modified organisms in this whole set of problems. So basically, the questions can lead to the aspects that we should apply high input or low input agriculture, or what combination of the two. The second issue is water. How can we manage our soils to use more efficiently the exhausting water pools? First, we could think about and we could follow how we manage our water resources in the soil, and most of the water that gets on the soil surface through precipitation is infiltrated, and the later utilization of this water resource depends largely on soil management. Perhaps it can be an interesting fact that soil, we can consider it as the potential largest natural water reservoir, and the upper 100 centimeter soil layers would be or should be able to store approximately 300-350 millimeters of water, which is approximately the half of the annual precipitation. So if we manage our soils correctly, we can do a lot for achieving that that goal, that aim, that we can use the water resources more efficiently. So we can see very often situations like that. So water deficit and water surplus are present at the same time in the same vegetation period within a single year all over the country. And in many cases, we experience that in early spring, we have waterlogged areas, and later on, we have to face drought on the same particular field. We can often take photos like that, soil deterioration caused by water logging, and the situation that follows after displayed on the previous picture is silting, capping, and it's a problematic situation also for from soil management point of view, because as for soil cultivation, we can say that a farmer has got only two problems with water: there is too much, or there is too many, or too little. What can be the best approach, or what can be the facts to consider regarding water? Nowadays, they talk about vertical and lateral fluxes, which means green water or blue water. Green water is the precipitation, transpiration water that percolates through the soil, and we should use this kind of water, this type of water, to the potential highest percentage. The blue water can be considered the lateral fluxes, aquifers, lakes, reservoirs, and we should be careful by preserving this water, this type of water, as much as possible. Third issue: nutrients. It's also a very important aspect, the manifestation of soil fertility. And in the future, we have to face with the situation that the certain quarries where we got different types of raw materials for fertilizer manufacturing are slowly exhausting. And we have to find some solutions for nutrient replacement. And perhaps at this point, it it's worth mentioning that there are two basic factors that made possible to reach that level of agriculture, that yields that we have for the time being in crop production. First is the added material, the fertilizers there are, and the other is the added energy, which can be denominated as the fossil fuels. So fertilizers and fossil fuels made possible to achieve that level of agricultural production. And if we take these elements away, probably it is possible to operate sustainable agricultural systems, but it's sure that at a much lower production level. Some facts about this. As much as 40 to 60% of food produced in the United States and the United Kingdom is due to fertilizer use. And nitrogen fertilizer accounted for the food of approximately 50% of the 2008 global population. So nitrogen is also a very important aspect of the level of agricultural production. And we know that though the resource is ample, the transforming it to a utilizable form either can be very expensive or not very environmentally friendly. Some figures about fertilizer consumption. Just take a look how it increased in the past period. Countries, you can see countries with the highest fertilizer use. You know, at the top of the list, at the top of the figure, are not necessarily the most developed countries. Though United States is the second in this figure, but China is the first, and you can find at the top of the list countries such as India, Brazil, Indonesia, even Pakistan and countries like that. So this is the total amount of fertilizer used. If we take a look at the specific use, so per unit area, it shows a different picture. Here we can see countries on the top, such as Ireland, the Netherlands, which is a classical high fertilizer use country. So what could be the best approach as for fertilizers? Definitely to improve efficiency, recycling more efficiently. The research group I refer to where I'm coming from, we especially deal with the utilization of so-called secondary raw material nutrients, which will be an even more important aspect of plant nutrition in the future. What other ways exist to improve efficiency? Tightly tuned nutrition, tightly tuned to plant needs. Maybe precision agriculture will be a great help in this respect in the future. And the more exact placement, timing, and the selection of the forms of fertilizer. And I would like to draw your attention to a very important element, application or the establishment of smaller ecological units. It can be an important element of future strategies, though there are some arguments against it as well, of course. Probably we should find a balance between the two. This is the classic question that generally they raise, fuel or bread? What we use our fertile land for? To produce plant for nutrients, for food, for people, for feedstuff, for animals, or to the production of energy, of fuel. It can be a very interesting game with this situation. And just as referred previously to the fact that the extra material and the extra energy gave the possibility to achieve the present level of agriculture. If we use a high proportion of our fertile land to produce fuel, it's just a matter of calculation when we get back to the situation or to the period where we used animal traction power in agriculture, because basically from an energetical point of view, it's all the same if we transform the material produced to alcohol or biodiesel, or we use as feedstuffs and fed it by traction animals. I will speed up a little. These are the possible pathways to transform the agricultural produce to energy. There are different possibilities, and it can be a very well operated system even within a particular agricultural plant or farm. Just some facts about the proportion, the utilization of agricultural produce to be transformed to energy. Some figures, some facts about this: 1 ton of maize is sufficient for the production of 400 liters ethanol. And in the meantime, we produce approximately 30 kilograms byproduct. This is the so-called DDGS, the distillers dry grain with solubles, which can be included into the feedstuff of pork up to a 20%. So it seems a little unproportionality in this in this formula. Some figures for the European Union. There is a target, an aim, that by 2030 we should achieve a situation, a state, that the amount of fuel should be biofuel up to a number of 25%. And according to calculations, we can establish that for achieving this number, this figure, we should use our agricultural, the 60-70% of our agricultural area for production, producing fuels. So, a summary about the different aspects of biofuels, a lot of facts to be considered, which can be the elements of this above-mentioned problems. Climate change. This is the fifth issue, which also gives us some important facts to face with. The annual temperature slightly increasing, the precipitation slightly decreasing. It's the job of meteorologists to prove if it is just a tendency yet, or if it is a fact, if it can be considered to a fact already. But we can establish that there is something. So, as we say often, that the probability of extreme weather situations definitely will increase in the future. Which brings along the probability of brief periods of heavy precipitations and similar soil situation like that I just showed also on some previous slides. This is how unprepared soil condition can affect, can influence the utilization of water in an agricultural area. This figure is about the effect of a For example, a tillage pan, a compacted layer, how it influences the water water management of a particular layer of water. We can conclude on the basis of this figure that structure deteriorations and the presence compacted layers in the soil will increase the drought sensitivity of an area. What to do with climate change? Organic matter management, it's a very important element, aspect that should be considered on that, which can be modified the water management capabilities of the soils. Biodiversity, this would be the sixth issue. I would like just to pick a quotation about biodiversity, which sounds as follows. We know enough to presume the biodiversity is critical, but not enough. So we do not know enough to explain the mechanisms and the complex interactions between all these elements. So we have a lot to learn about biodiversity in the soils. Recycling waste, this is an area that we especially deal with. And as a conclusion of this element, perhaps I could emphasize that the first aspect that we should consider is that we it is a very reasonable thing to use soil as a media to close the geochemical cycles. But the first aspect always should be the interest of the soil and the aspects of the soil. So basically, we should just recycle such a material that is necessary on that particular land and on that particular soil. So as it was in some of the slides also, as they say, soil is a high capacity media for transforming different materials, that not for the placement of undesirable materials to be mixed into the soil. I skip just to save time. I keep some of the slides. I went through basically almost all of the aspects, and I would like to show you some photos how we treat our soils, because they can be relevant in terms of soil use as well. So pictures that we see very often. This was taken near Mosonmagyaróvár a couple of years ago, building a residential area. I wrote on the slide that in the middle of nowhere. Our town is not a big one. The population is about 33,000. But at the same time, we have approximately four different locations where the town spreads out into arable lands, building new residential areas. So, and how this procedure follows, of course, public services has to be established, of course, destroying fertile arable land. And this is also a consequence of land privatization in Hungary as well. A lot of land owners found that they can exploit quicker their land if they do not cultivate it, they do not use it for agricultural production, but they open gravel quarries. And this means that especially in the Danube region, we find a lot of lakes that were formed due to gravel excavation. Battlefield left behind after a flood control. So as we leave our soils, when we think that we had done that we had to. And another aspect wind power. I don't know what is your opinion about this question. So wind power is very popular and a supported method of generating energy. Opinion is not necessarily that absolutely positive from this point of view, at least especially as for soil management and soil protection point of view. Let's see how these smart, elegant wind turbines are established. There are quite a lot of in our region, in the part of the country where we are coming from. Not as many as on the other side of the border in Austria, where they started it much earlier and they have more wind turbines. But they have been established in a significant number in the past period in our region as well. So first, a very wide, well-built, gravel-covered road leads to each single wind turbine. When it is established, such a huge concrete block is placed into the soil, and this is the procedure when they are established. Without taking very little care for the soil, for the fertile soil. The roads going to the turbines, and this is an aerial, a satellite picture. Probably most of you are using Google Earth. This is the picture of wind turbine park in Austria, close to the Hungarian border. You see that the land is cut into small sections, and just as the well-built road leads to each turbine, and this is not only leads to the loss of a significant amount of fertile soil, but also limits and hinders the utilization possibilities of the remaining land. So this is where soil begins. I hope that I didn't misuse your time very much, and perhaps this is the final conclusion and final thought that I want to close my presentation with. At least in my opinion, that is of course shared by many other people, or I share many other people's opinion. Humanity can survive the running out of fossil energy, but cannot survive the running out of soil. So probably this could be the final message of my presentation. Thank you for your kind attention.